Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, The Calling of a Man, from the series Exodus, and uncovers how every issue traces back to men not stepping into their divine purpose. Before we get started with today's teaching, though, we invite you to check out PastorJeff.com to find more resources to help you grow in your walk. And be sure to sign up for Pastor Jeff's weekly email devotion to receive encouragement right in your inbox. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
Every time I look out at our culture and I see a problem, something goes off inside of me and says, there's a guy somewhere that's not stepping up and doing what God has called him to do. Every issue that we've ever seen in the world, you can date all the way back to a tree in the garden where a man did not stand up and do what God had called him to do. And since that time, everything has begun to unravel. We talk about fatherlessness in our culture being one of the greatest problems, but so is absenteeism in the home for dads who are there but don't know how to love their wives and don't know how to raise their kids. And I know for me, growing up as a guy, I was challenged many times as an athlete and what I needed to be. I was challenged in the business world and what I needed to become. I was challenged educationally to go and pursue things. But when it came to things spiritually, I personally was never around anybody that was willing to challenge me. And I, for one, love to be challenged. And the reason I do is because God made me a man. And men are always, there's some embers that are burning inside of a man that want to be challenged, that want to know, here's what God has for me and what should I do? We throw the word around calling a lot, like, are you called by God? And we reserve that for the special few that we think are called to vocational ministry, to be a pastor, evangelist, a teacher. But the reality is God's speaking to all men. And even when we're called, what are we called to do? Like what does it look like? Because there's something special when it goes off and there's a tuning fork inside of a guy that says, I know who I am and I know why I'm on this planet and I know what I'm called to do. And there's something tragic when we meet men who have lived 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years and they're still asking, I don't even know why I'm here. I'm just trying to make it through the day. God goes after men every time he wants to change the world. And he looks to call men every time he wants to change the world. Today's message is specifically geared for the men in our congregation. However, ladies, you should understand, if you know what the heart of God is for a man, if you're a single lady here, this is the kind of man you want to pray God into your life. If you're a wife, this is the kind of man you want your husband to be. Because a godly man will always empower all those around him. A godly man will always empower his wife to be great. A godly man will always empower his kids to go beyond. A godly man will do things that are necessary to change the world and make this world a better place. And women, even as you listen to this message, you could say this, I know God can call me to do some of the same things. But the reason that we're speaking specifically to the men today is that men are called to be the leaders in the church and in the home. That's what God called men to be. So when I look at a family, I know by God's design that the man is the leader. However, many times that's not the case. We throw terms around like this. Well, she wears the pants in the family. In God's family, the men wear the pants. And wearing the pants does not mean bully. It does not mean boss. It does not mean putting people down. It means humbly positioning themselves before the Lord so that the wives, so that the kids can be empowered to be everything that God designed them to be and the fullness of that. And men, if you've ever been confused about what God is calling you to do, today is the answer to that question. To know why he put you on this earth and to know how to get to the next step in your journey with the Lord. So I want to encourage you to open up your Bible to Exodus chapter 24 today. Exodus chapter 24. We'll attempt to get through all of Exodus chapter 24 and the first 9 verses of 25. And while you're turning there, I mean, we've been poised here at Mount Sinai for some time. God's been speaking to Moses. God's given the Ten Commandments. God's told the people to stay back because he's so holy and only Moses and a few are allowed to come up and see him. And this story is going to continue. And what you're going to see is that while God has called Moses long before he was even created, in utero, God had a plan for Moses in the same way that God has a plan for everyone in utero for how he wants to see their life fulfilled. We're going to see as he continues what he's being called to do. God's already used Moses for amazing things. God had a plan for Moses when he was inside his mother. God had a plan for Moses when he was going down the Red Sea. God had a plan for Moses when the Red Sea was parted. God had a plan for Moses when he was calling down all the plagues. God had a plan for Moses when he delivered the people. God's always had a plan for Moses to do what Moses was called to do. However, even here later in his life, he's not done with him yet. Men, listen to me. If you're still breathing, God still has a calling on your life. And the calling is not retirement to sit on your back end and do nothing or play more golf. That's not a calling, right? That's idolatry. God has called us to serve him. Well, what's he called us to do? No matter what age we are, how do I take that next step in my journey? I'm gonna talk about four things in the calling of a man, what God calls a man to actually do. And the first is this: God calls a man to hear his voice and communicate his word. God calls a man to hear his voice and communicate his word. Now, don't lose me yet. He doesn't call everybody to be a pastor. He doesn't call everybody to hear his voice and speak at a church. That's not what he calls. He calls you to hear him and to speak what he's telling you to speak. That's what he calls. Now, notice this. Then he said to Moses, you're going to see that all throughout this entire chapter. God's only talking to Moses. He's not talking to anybody else. He's not talking to the 72 elders. He's not talking to Aaron. He's not talking to Aaron's two older sons. He's talking to Moses. Why? Because when God calls a man, he speaks to the man. That's what he does. So he says to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, who are Aaron's two oldest sons, the 70 elders of Israel, and you shall worship at a distance. Moses alone, however, shall come near to the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people come up with him. Then Moses came and recounted to the people all the words of the Lord and all the ordinances, and all the people answered in one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has spoken, we will do. Now, we've been reading a lot about what God's been commanding. It's been exhaustive in some ways. He's been spelling out for them how things work out in all these different scenarios. And we looked at case law, and we've looked at rest, and we've looked at worship, and we've looked at trust, and we've looked at the Ten Commandments. And every time that they're told by Moses, here's what God says, what do the people respond? All that God says, we'll do. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? It's kind of a trick question, right? I mean, when we hear the word of the Lord, we want to say, well, everything he says, I want to do. But the reality is, apart from Christ, we can't do the very things God's calling us to do. It's why sometimes we hear a message and we leave the church and we're like, I got this. From now on, this is who I am. I'm never doing this again. And you make it till 2:30 in the afternoon on Sunday. Because apart from Christ, you can't do it. And so the people naively are saying, everything you say we'll do. They kind of mean it, but they don't realize what they're saying because they can't do it apart from an ongoing dependence on God by hearing his voice and communicating what he's saying. And all of us are called to do that. That's why in the first part of verse 4, what's Moses do? It says that Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. So Moses said, you want to do them all? Great. I'll write them all down for you so they can be in front of you. Isn't it great to know that the Holy Spirit has given us his word? So if you ever wonder, like, what's God expect of me? It's all in here. I mean, it's all right here for anyone who would be willing to open up the book and say, God, I want to hear you. Now, let me tell you something about hearing the voice of God. Jesus Christ is alive. He not only died on the cross for all your sins, but he rose from the dead. Our God is living and active. When we read the Bible is living and active. That's why if somebody says, well, I already read the Bible once. Well, good. Keep reading it every day because the Bible's living and active. If you want to hear God's voice, open up his word and pursue him. He will speak. When you study the word, memorize the word, meditate on the word, hear the word taught, hear the word preached, it is God who is doing the speaking so you can hear him. But there are in some groups, some people that say, yeah, God doesn't really speak anymore. Friends, he's alive. So the Bible is the plumb line, but God can speak through other people. God can speak through your circumstances. God can speak through another believer into your life, through a word of prophecy or a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. Perhaps you don't know where to turn or what to do. And all of a sudden somebody spoke into your life and it just clears up right now. Well, that's the way I need to go. God can speak in a variety of ways. He can speak in subjective ways because our God's alive, but his word and what you hear him say will always align with the word of God. If it ever contradicts this book, you did not hear it from God. Period, end of story. So he says, we're called to hear his voice and then communicate his word. Well, what does that mean if you're not called to be a pastor? It means, man, if you're in your house, you're the leader of your home. And I'll just repeat what I said. Leader does not mean boss. Leader does not mean bully. Leader does not mean put other people down. Leader does not mean gather around and worship me. Leader means servant. I'm here to hear the voice of God for my family. And then guess what? Communicate what you hear because you're the leader. When I was called out here to plant this church, it was 2009. I heard the Lord crystal clear. It was one of those moments. It was July 16th of 2009. And I heard the Lord clearly. And I told my wife in the car on the way to a Billy Joel Elton John concert at Wrigley Field in Chicago, we're moving to Denver and I'm planting a church. To which she said, okay. And that night as we were walking into the concert, I said, no, God told me we're going to move there. And she's like, well, you didn't say God said. And I said, well, I'm telling you now.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, The Calling of a Man, from the series Exodus, uncovering how every issue traces back to men not stepping into their divine purpose. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But first, make prayer a priority in 2025 with the 21 Days of Prayer Journal, designed to help you make the discipline of prayer a habit in your life. We'll send you the journal as thanks for your gift to support Brave today. Simply visit us at PastorJeff.com to give. Once again, that website is PastorJeff.com. Now let's get back to today's message and listen to the conclusion of this teaching from God's Word.
And that night as we were walking into the concert, I said, no, God told me we're going to move there. And she's like, well, you didn't say God said. And I said, well, I'm telling you now. And she wasn't nearly as excited because all of our family was there. All of our friends were there. We had gotten established there. Our ministry was going really well. And she said, well, I'll pray. Now, you need to know something about my wife. My wife hears the Lord unlike any other woman I've ever been around. I mean, just this morning, earlier, about half an hour before our first service, I could not find my Bible. I leave it in the same spot every single week. And so I called my wife. I said, you need to start praying. The second she started praying, somebody on our staff found it and brought it to me. And I texted her. I'm like, yeah, your prayer worked again. My wife hears God. So when I was talking to her about moving, I knew God wouldn't tear us apart because I knew I wasn't going to send postcards and texts. So I kept praying like, Lord, what's going on? And how come you're not telling Kim? Because I know she hears you. There's nobody that hears you like her and she's not feeling it. So you got to bring her along. One day, my wife called me on the phone. She said, I heard the Lord about moving to Denver. I said, great. She's like, well, I'm not going to tell you what he said though, because you'll hold it over me. And I said, no, I promise. I won't hold it over no matter what you said. She said these words. She said, you know, I've been praying and praying and praying for God to show me what you see. And he told me today that I'm not going to see it, but I need to trust you as my spiritual leader. And I will go with you because you're called. Now, I want to tell you what emotion went through me. It wasn't like, oh yeah, baby, I'm the king. That is not at all how I felt. You know what I felt? Terrified. Terrified. Because my wife was just telling me, you better have heard the Lord because I'm bringing me and our kids out there. And if you got this wrong, you're ruining our family. I was terrified. I went back to the Lord and like, Lord, are you sure? Do we got this thing right? Because she's coming now and we got it, right? Lady, submitting to your husband is not a bad thing. It's a godly thing. That's why it's so hard to do. Because apart from Christ, you can't do it. Feminism says, don't submit to your husband. Feminism says you're equal. Let me just tell you from this pulpit, men and women are not the same. Not only is your gender different, everything about us is fundamentally different. Amen? Amen. And God's the one that designed it that way. And God thinks that the way he made men is wonderful. And the way that he made women are wonderful. And both men and women need to be championed to be the fullness of their gender. Amen? 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 It's true. And I'm just reading this. This is a G.K. Chesterton. He's a theologian, great theologian. He said this, feminism is mixed up with a muddled idea that women are free when they serve their employers, but are slaves when they help their husbands. Ladies, I'm just telling you from the word of God, if you've chosen to be married, honoring your husband is a godly thing. And when you do it God's way and you free him up to lead, it helps because some women want their husbands to lead, but they don't give them a chance to because they think, oh, he's gonna fail here. He's kind of a buffoon. He's not gonna make it. I gotta help him do all this. Let him fail. Let him lead. Push him to be godly. Now it's really interesting here because Moses is being called of God, but nobody else is hearing this. The 72 elders, they're not hearing this. Aaron's not hearing this. Moses, Aaron's two older sons, they're not hearing this. So what's he got to do? He's got to hear what God's telling him and then tell the others, here's what God says and here's what we need to do. Do you know how much courage it takes to do that? Do you know how much courage it takes to read the word of God and seek the face of the Lord on a week in, week out basis, say, this is what God says, and then stand up and preach it knowing that not everybody's gonna like what you have to say? You know how hard it is to do that as a husband for your wife and for your family when you seek the Lord and you hear his voice and you communicate, here's where God's leading us and here's what he wants us to do? It's always hard to share with others what God is communicating to you. But hearing the Lord and communicating what he says is the foundation of what you're called to do. Both men and women are called to do that. We're supposed to hear him and clearly communicate what we're hearing him say, right? I've talked to many pastors, that's the realm that I live in, that have had conversations with me about ways they're frustrated in their congregation. I'm like, well, have you ever preached on that? Like, oh, I could never preach on that because if I preached on that, everybody would leave. I'm like, well, you should try it. Because if it's true in the word and you just preach it, then the people that stay are the people that want to hear the word of God. And if they leave, you probably wanted them to go anyway. It takes courage to tell people what God says. I'm telling you, after doing this for a number of years, it takes courage to stand and preach this message today, right? And here's the problem. And here's what we need to see. God always goes looking for a man. Now, this doesn't mean that God doesn't call a plurality of leaders around that man. Because even in the nation of Israel, Moses was the clear leader, but there was a plurality of other men around him. There was a plurality of elders around him. There was a plurality of other people that could help. But who did he call? One guy. We're uncomfortable with that in our culture. We think, well, that's not right. It's always the way that God has done it. Old Testament, New Testament. Who's he go calling? He goes and calls a guy and speaks directly to him about what there's going to be. So what does that mean for a church? It means in a church, there's one person that's the head, and then there's a plurality of leaders that help shape it. Like, who's the one responsible for what's going on in the church? The one that God called to start the church. The one who's leading the church. Then what are the other leaders about? They're about helping shape and fulfill duties that are needed to get done for that. That's why at Brave, the way that we're structured is we have three different groups of elders, where we're guided by our shepherding elders that help fulfill the vision and praying for and pastoring our people. We're protected by our stewarding elders who make sure that financially we're in good shape and with all the legalities that have to go on, we're doing well. And then we have supervising or overseeing elders that grow us and grow me, that help me stay accountable. We got accountability coming from 17 different ways, but who's the leader in the church? I am. That's my role. That's my responsibility. God's going to ask me, hey, you heard me say this. You heard this was the way we needed to go. Why didn't you speak up? It was a couple years ago, God started talking to me more about campuses and started talking to me about schools. And it became more and more apparent, like, we have to move this way. I wasn't consulting with everybody else. I did run it by several of our elders and leaders and, hey, help shape this. Am I hearing the Lord clearly? Am I doing all that? But who's calling the shot? Who's saying this is what we must do? It's me. That's my responsibility. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, then take it up with the Lord. Because the Lord calls a man. And here's the way it is. There's two different types of callings, and I fit into both of these. One is sometimes God calls you to be the leader, where you're the head. And by the way, anything with more than one head is a monster. That's why we don't have the presidents of the United States serve all at the same time. It would not work. There's one president, right? And that doesn't always work. So, enough said. But then there's a plurality of leadership. There has to be. Because any man that's worth his salt that has been called from God knows that he's completely dependent upon God and who God brings. So sometimes God puts a calling on your life, not just for vocational ministry work, but maybe in the political sector or maybe in the business sector or maybe in the teaching sector, where you're called to go do something that nobody else has done and you're leading it. And God says, I want you to lead this charge. And you'll say, who, me? And God will say, yeah, you. And you'll go through all the same things Moses did, where you say, well, I'm unqualified and I don't know how to do this. And God says, I didn't call you because you're qualified, but I'll qualify you because I'm calling you. And then he takes you the next steps. Other times, and I've been in this situation too, where I haven't been the head. Other times, there's somebody else that you're going to follow whose vision's big enough for you to fulfill your calling under the umbrella of their leadership. And that's a fulfilling calling too. I've been in both circumstances. I may be in another circumstance someday when I step down from here, or if I step down from here, where I'm under somebody else's leadership. I'm fine with that, as long as I can fulfill what God's called me to do. Just so you know, on our staff, we have at least 5 guys here on our staff that could go out and be senior pastors of churches and be very successful at being great senior pastors, but have folded their strengths here because they feel like they can fulfill their calling here and multiply it greater than if they went and did it by themselves. And that's a fine calling too. But here's what the problem is. If you're not going to go do it, then find somebody who has a big enough calling to house your ministry, big enough calling to house your political career, big enough calling to house your business career, big enough calling to house your teaching career, where you can be who God made you to be under their umbrella. Now, here's the problem. If you can't, then I'm going to give you a couple things never to do. Never complain that somebody else's vision is too small, and never complain that somebody else's vision doesn't include you. Don't complain about that, right? If you're in a situation where somebody else's umbrella is too small, like, man, I know what God's calling me to do and I can't do it here, then you get 3 choices. One is this: wait patiently with great support. You can do that. I was in a situation when I was finishing up my last 2 years of seminary in Dallas. I was at a church. I was not thrilled about the way the church was going. I was not thrilled about the leadership. But as I prayed about it, God said, you're staying right there and finishing up school. So during those 2 years, super hard for me, because I didn't align totally, but I never one time said something bad about our pastor, about our leadership, about anything else. All I did was affirm them and tell the Lord, I'm doing this for you. And if anybody else says something bad, I'm not going to join them. I'm only going to honor you, because this is where you have me and I'm going to serve as best I can. And you know, God used that to grow my maturity and character in a lot of ways. So you have that choice sometime. So if you're at a church or you're at a business, you're at school, you're at something like that, I can't be who God's called me to be. One of your options is, okay, then just honor the leadership and serve really well as long as you stay there. Second option is this: go find someone else to follow. Just leave. Can't do it here, I'm gonna go find somewhere else. That's not sinful. Go find someone else where you can serve under them and fulfill their vision. Or third, if you can't find someone else, go start your own thing. Just go do it. I mean, sometimes it's God kicking us out. You know, we're in the business world and can't serve under this person. I've been patient for a long time. I can't find anybody else to serve under because God's been stirring in you. It's time for you to launch out and go do that. All of those 3 options take great faith and great humility: to stay and serve, to trust to leave, or to go start your own thing. Okay? Does that make sense? Those are your 3 choices. But here's what you can never do. Here's what you must never do. If you do these 3, if you do these things, you're a pawn for Satan. Never complain about the vision. Never complain about the vision. Why would you complain about the vision if you're under the vision? Why would you complain about the vision if you're going to leave the vision? Why would you complain about the vision if you're going to start your own thing? It was prompting you to get out. Okay? Never grumble with others. When others are grumbling about how bad it is, you don't join them. Don't sow seeds of discord. And number 4, don't rally people to your way of thinking. All those things are used by Satan to cause factions inside of church, businesses, athletic groups, everything else. In other words, if you don't like it, humble yourself before the Lord and serve anyway, or leave, or go start your own thing. Those are your options. Now, I see it in churches. It doesn't happen here, but I'm sure in some churches it does, where people will be in a church like, I don't like that vision. I don't like that we're doing that. I don't like that we're doing this. But instead of just submitting, here's what they do. Or instead of just leaving, or instead of just going and starting their own church, here's what they say: I just don't like it here. I'm gonna rally other people to my way of thinking. I'm gonna grumble and complain. You're being used of the enemy. Don't do that. Just go find another church. The reason God has so many different churches is because not everybody's gonna align with one church. Like, there's a lot of, I love Brave. That's where I'm gonna be. I think it's the best, right? But at the end of the day, it's all about the kingdom. And there's a lot of other churches in our city that are about the kingdom. And you can go honor God in other churches that are about the kingdom. Just never stay in a place where you're gonna grumble and complain about leadership. Get out. Go. You're free. Nobody's holding you here. Even if you sign a membership covenant, you're not locked into Brave. You have freedom to serve the Lord any way the Lord would ever call you to serve. And you're not sinning by doing that.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, The Calling of a Man, from the series Exodus, uncovering how every issue traces back to men not stepping into their divine purpose. Before we let you go, we want to remind you to request your copy of the 21 Days of Prayer Journal, designed to help you make prayer a daily habit this year. When you give a gift to support Brave, visit PastorJeff.com to give and request your copy. That's PastorJeff.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for email updates from Brave to be among the first to hear about new resources to equip you in your walk. Thank you again for joining us today.